1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Read a few verses and give you what the Lord's laid on my heart. Before I ever left North Carolina, the Lord laid this on my heart coming up the highway. I knew I'd have to preach this, and I thank God for the preaching this morning.
Amen.
We've already heard great men of God, the preaching of the Word of God to our hearts, needful to our souls in our day. Amen. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, Samuel was laid down to sleep. But the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." You may be seated tonight. God would help me. I've noticed here in the Word of God, I've noticed some things that are very familiar to us in this day. It seems that the glory was departing from the house of the Lord. It seems the lights were growing dim, and the power of God and the presence of the Lord was very little in that day. The Word of God was rare. It was very precious. In those days, God was not speaking. There was no open vision. It sounds familiar to a time such as where we are. I don't know how it is where you are tonight, today, where you live at, but boy, if you go leave your church, most of the time where you are, you'll drive an hour to find one to go to, where the presence of God is. And if we'd be honest as a whole, in our services, it's not like it used to be. Our camp meetings, there's not as much of the power of God in the house of the Lord. In our services, many preachers are talking like they're just barely getting by. And it seems that the glory is departing and the lights are a growing dim. I don't know what all the reasons are. I know that we're victims of prophecy, but I just can't believe it's God's fault. I think it rests on us. I think if we'd return unto the Lord, the Lord will return unto us. I believe it settles on us. I believe it lands in the pulpit. I believe it lands in the pew. I believe it lands at the house. And there's some reasons why the glory is departing. Amen. I think we can find some of them in this scripture. In this text in chapter 2 and chapter 3 and 4, I think right here in this text, there are some reasons that are very familiar. I will say, first of all, they did not keep the house of God clean. Amen. Hophni and Phinehas are the sons of Eli. The Bible said in chapter 2 and verse number 12, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. They were wicked men that had filled the priest's offices. In the pulpits, there's wickedness. Anymore in our day, amen. Preachers mount the pulpit and go home and get on the internet and looking at porno sites and ungodly things on their cell phones and iPads and iPods. I'll tell you, friend, it's hard to live for God and cleave unto wickedness." Amen. Here we are in a day where the house of God's got filthy. Hell, it seemed like a lot of things are being okayed in our day. It seems that in the house of God, we've okayed a lot of things that God's not said yes to. Amen. They're bringing worldly music in. They're bringing tape music in. Some long hair thing from Nashville's a playing it. And they're all weeping and crying over it. I'm going to tell you, it's hard to have God in midst of wickedness. You say, preacher, I don't like the preaching I've just heard. I'm going to tell you, if you get born again, thank God you'll like it. I don't like it when my preacher preaches on my sin. Hey, I'm going to tell you what. I'll get right with it. Oh, we come to a day where very few preachers are preaching on it anymore. I'm going to tell you, coming to a day where they're just winking at it. Acting like it's okay. I'm going to tell you it ain't okay. God ain't pleased with the sin that has infiltrated the ranks of the house of God. Teaching Sunday school and divorced. Singing in the choir and dancing on Saturday night. I'm going to tell you, God ain't pleased with it. If you've got it in your car and you're listening to country music, don't try to sing, I'll take the old highway to me. Amen. The soul train ain't on the old highway. Amen. I know I'd like to give you 3 points and a poem, but it's all I got this morning. I'm going to tell you, in our day, we belong too much in the house of God. Youngest sitting on their cell phones while the man of God's preaching, playing games and texting one another in the house of God. I'm going to tell you, there's no adult supervision on some of these kids. Kids nowadays, and I'm not there yet, but I'm fixing to get tired. I just might as well hit it while I'm there. Kids nowadays with 20,000 texts a month. Where's mama? Where's daddy? Where's adult supervision? Well, preacher, I know who they're texting, yeah, but do you know what they're texting? Amen. Y'all know what's going on in our lives lately. I'm not going to get into it, but at the accident, my son was there. That officer said, you was texting, wasn't you? He said, no, sir. You was talking on your phone, wasn't you? No, sir. He said, let me see your phone. He said, here it is. He got to looking at it. He said, how come you erased all your texts? He said, well, said, I do that from time to time. I don't have many. He said, what about this one girl right here? He said, what about her? Why ain't you erased her text? He said, well, that's my girlfriend, and my mom and daddy won't let me erase that until they read it. Which I don't like that. I don't care. Amen. That don't bother me that you don't like that. And surely he knew he's telling the truth. For an 18-year-old boy to admit that his mama had to read his text. I'm going to tell you, friend, I ain't ashamed of it. And I hope he ain't either. Hey, we've let them go anymore. We've allowed everything anymore. We'll say it's all right, but it ain't all right. And then we'll come to the house of God and wonder where the glory is. Him old grannies would shout. Him old men of God would pray. And the power of God would fall in the house of the Lord. Where's all that gone? Where's that glory gone? Why is it departed from the fundamental Baptist churches tonight? We've allowed sin in the church. We're not going to keep it clean. God ain't going to bless you. We'll say, God bless America. What we need to be saying is, God help America to repent. He will not bless her till she falls down in sackcloth and ashes and begs for His forgiveness and cries out to God and says, forgive us! We sinned against God! Amen. Oh, we've allowed it in the church now. It's gotten so full in the world that we've just let it come in. I ain't trying to rehash what's been preached. I just wrote him on and I thought, just let him go ahead and preach and I'll just sit here. I'm enjoying it, but I won't tell you, we've let too much sin in the house of God and then we're wondering where God's at. God ain't going to get in the middle of it. We're going to have to get out of that before God will come. Amen. God help us. Boy, in our day, sin has filled the house of God.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you, if we was to flash up what's on your mind when you come in the house of God this morning, up on the wall.
Preach it, brother.
I wonder what you, if you'd even come in. Things you've seen, Things you've been listening to. Things you've been doing. Things you've been thinking about. Boy, he said, whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are. Things of a good report. If there be any virtue. If there be any praise. He said, think on these things. What are we thinking about when we come to the house of God on Sunday morning? Try to preach Hollywood out of people's minds. Try to preach Nashville out of their thoughts. Hard to do that when they're so full of it. We're filled with so much. I'm going to tell y'all something about me. Maybe I ought not tell you, but I'm just going to it. I love little Debbie's. I'm a junk food addict. I am. I'm just that way. And I love them old little cakes, you know, and peanut butter and chocolate. I love that stuff. And I can get full on that stuff, Brother Jimmy. And when I get full on that stuff, I won't want a steak.
That's right.
You know why they won't hear preaching anymore? They're full on the junk of the world. They're full on the garbage of the world. We're full on wickedness. And there's no way they hear preaching anymore. One reason I believe the glory's departing. Them boys had stolen from the offerings. They had gone in. They're supposed to take that hook and dip it in the cauldron or the pan of the pot. And they're supposed to dip it in there. What come out was theirs. Yeah. But they were going and saying, hey, you give us of that that's raw. We'll not have sodden flesh of thee. But we want it raw. If you won't give it, we'll take it from you. By force. Stealing from the people of God. They were laying with the women.
Yeah.
At the door of the house of God. My soul. What a wickedness we've. Oh, you say, preacher, it ain't going on today. You better pull your head out of sand. Amen. It man of God better preach his guts out to you. It ain't because he hates you, it's because he loves you that he preaches by. I tell you, I'm reminded just immediately then when I said that. A message Brother Ronnie Jones preached at the camp meeting in Kentucky. On a mean preacher. Some of y'all are doing this and you remember it. I tell you what a mean preacher is, one that won't preach. If I was too scared of the women, if I was too scared of my wife, or the deacons or the deacon's wife to preach on the prevalent sin of the day in the house of God, I would not preach again. Amen. Day when men look like women, women look like men.
Amen.
Day when they're putting earrings on their boys.
Amen.
Necklaces around their necks. Little old bracelets on their wrists. I ain't raising no girls that I look like boys and no boys that I look like girls. I want there to be a distinct difference between them. These men running around call themselves a preacher wearing flip-flops and shorts. I'm wondering if they've ever been born again. You take cowboy boots off a nearest cowboy and put a pair of flip-flops on him and he looks like a first-class sodomite. Amen. Hey, look like a bunch of ungodly mess in our day. Hey, and it's got in the church. Which I ain't going to say nothing about it. I don't hurt nobody's feelings. I want to tell you something. They'll never get right till they get provoked. Amen. I went to church when I left my first church. And I went to church down the road. They called me. And I went in there on Wednesday night and preached. And my little daughter, my oldest daughter, was probably about 7, I guess, at that time. And there's an old boy stood up toward the front and testified. Said, boy, I want to thank God for saving me Sunday. And we got home. We got in the car, started home. My little daughter Hannah said, Dad, did you notice that man stood up and said he got saved Sunday? I said, yeah, honey, I noticed him. She said, Daddy, he had long hair and earring. I said, yeah, honey, I seen that. She said, what do you think about that, Daddy? I said, well, if what he really got down in his soul was real, it'll show up on the outside. I went back on on Sunday morning, come in there, he had a bar haircut. Didn't have no earring in his ear. I didn't know who he was until he sat down with his wife, and I knew then who he was. I said, Hannah, did you see that little old boy? And she said, yeah, Daddy, I seen him. I said, what happened on the inside? What did it do? And she said, Daddy, it worked his way on the outside. We're trying to clean them up. We're trying to cover. We're trying to get longer dresses on. We're trying to get them to walk right. What we need to do is get them in the family of God, and He'll take care of all of them. They were sons of Belial. They were wicked men. They were the devil's seed. They knew not the Lord. I wonder how many preachers there are in pulpits today that know not the Lord. They got a little old plan, you know. They've learned how. They figured it all out. They'll read to them, get them to agree to some things. Then they'll tell them they're all right. They'll say to God, save you, and they'll nod their head for them. They'll stand them up, testify for them. And you'll say, preacher, how in the world do they not know? No, all they know is to take them as far as they've been. They don't know no different. They were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. I don't tell you, the house of God's not clean like it used to be.
No, it's not.
I shudder to preach that in a group like this, because I thank God for these men of God. Some of my heroes are sitting right here. I mean that in the bottom of my heart. I feel, I was sitting there this morning, I said, Lord, I wish He'd just pass me on by and feel fit to stand and preach this morning. Because these men of God sitting around here. I thank God for these men of God, but boy, they tell you more than I can about it. We ain't what we used to be.
Amen.
We've let some things come in, and it's robbing us of the glory. And it's robbing us of the light. The light that used to shine in the darkness has grown dim anymore. We're wondering why. We're coming up with reasons. But the house of God ain't clean like it used to be. Oh, they don't say that. We've not heeded the Word of God. The man of God preaching his guts out, and we won't hear it. The Bible said that Eli had a visitor. In chapter number 2 and verse 27, and there came a man of God unto Eli, and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house, and did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord said, God of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come. I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house. There shall not be an old man in that house. Thou shalt see an enemy in thy habitation and all the wealth which God shall give Israel. And there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of man whom I shall not cut off from my altar shall be to consume thine ass and to grieve of thine heart. All the increase of thy soul, hell shall die in the fire of their age. This shall be a sign unto thee. There shall come upon thy two sons on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest. God had sent him a message. He said unto Samuel, against Eli will I do a thing, against him because of the iniquity that he knoweth. I'm going to tell you one of the reasons I believe the glory is departing. Because we have not heeded the Word of God. Preachers all over this country are discouraged. Preach Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday. The more he preaches to live right, the further away they go. The more he preaches to love God, the more it seems like they fall in love with the world. The more he preaches to be faithful, it seems like the more unfaithful they are. The unheeded message. They get mad at him because he preaches. They get angry at him because he'll tell them about the sin of their children and of their grandchildren and how their living's not right. And I'm going to tell you, thank God for a man of God that a preached to me and my family. Amen. I drive an hour and 20 minutes to church. It ain't because there ain't no churches between me and there. And I ain't just saying this because he's here. I'd say it if he wasn't. But I drive that far because that's how long it takes me to get to a man to stand for something. Amen. That's right. That's right. I know a couple of them preach good. Don't get mad at me now. But every time he leaves the pulpit, first thing he looks for is a spit bottle. I know some that can say some good things. But they won't preach on sin.
That's
They won't stand for nothing. They let all kind of wickedness go on in the house of God. And they don't know much about the dealings and the workings of the Holy Ghost. Drive iron 20 minutes every Sunday. Go to the house of God. Glad to do it. I've drove that far to East State before. That's right. I'm not just being funny. That's the truth. Or we'll just drop in on anything. Go off on vacation, drop in on anything. Put our young'uns under any old kind of table. Feed them any old kind of garbage. We care more about our dogs than we do what our children eat. That's right. Hook them up on the internet, put it in their room. Cable television, put it in their bedroom. Turn them loose with it. No restraints. Amen. That brings me on in there. He said, thank God, you know what Eli's main sin was? That he would not restrain his children.
Amen.
Preacher, I love them too much. I'm going to tell you the Word of God said, that he that spareth the rod, it don't say he spoileth the child. You quit saying that.
Amen.
It said, he that spareth the rod hateth his son. What's happened to the day and the hour where mama take that youngin out the house of God and take him out behind the house and wear him out?
Amen.
Worst ones I ever got was at the house of God.
Amen.
My mama, my daddy sat on the end of the pew. Just about, Brother Ken, on that pew. We're right behind y'all, about that third pew. My daddy sat on the end and my mama sat next to him, and then we'd sit the smallest one to the oldest one. I was the smallest one for 8 years. I don't know how many times my daddy's reached across there. Fucked me in the top of my head. And I'm going to tell you something, Brother Jimmy. I knew what that meant for me when I got home.
Amen.
Amen. I knew what that meant for me. We got a little older and we kind of branched out a little bit. And I sat on the pew in front of them. And me and my brother got tickled, you know. And one time in service, I don't never forget it. My daddy was up singing in the quartet. And my mama said, I knew what that meant. All the laughing stopped. And fear gripped my heart.
Yes, sir.
But now, you have to hide the microphones at the house of God and keep the children from throwing them after church. Youngins running wild, running up and down the house, running on the pews, jumping on everything, throwing song books, throwing offering plates. Hey, what happens to mothers and daddies that would restrain their children? We turned them loose. We let them go. I wouldn't let them argue with me. I was in a store one time, this little old boy. I heard him about 4 hours over. I was working Pepsi Cola and I heard him coming. screaming, hollering, screaming for everything. I thought, oh boy, I wish I'd get my hands on you. Take you to the bathroom for about 5 minutes. But directly got loose from his mama. Here he come down that aisle where I was at. I was putting Pepsis on the shelf. I seen him out of the corner of my eye coming. I ain't just trying to be funny, but I'm telling you the truth. That old boy come running down through there. He's happy now. When I seen him, I turned around, give him off his face and hollered at him, scared him half to death. That boy went running, screaming back to mama. Next time I seen him, he just climbed on mama, hugging her and crying. He didn't want to get around me. I'm going to tell you, that's what we need. We got a Christian school. There's an old boy coming to our school. And I don't know why I let him come, because I knew his trouble. But God just spoke to my heart and let him come in. I thought we could make a difference in him. That old boy's bigger than me, and he's 13-year-old, bigger than me. I guess I paddled that boy probably at least every other day for weeks. Every other day I paddled him. I got fed up with it. My wife said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm just going to keep paddling harder. One day her and another teacher standing in the doorway, and I paddled him. Both of them squalled like babies. Brother Shaver, I got done paddling that boy. I ain't being mean about it. That boy turned around, put his arms around me, and squalled on me like a baby.
Yeah.
Hey, mama, you know what your youngins want? They want some restraints. Right. Daddy, you know what them boys and them girls want? They want somebody to give them some restraints.
Yeah.
Come Christmas time, old Jonathan wrote me a card. I sat there and wept like a baby while I read that card from that boy, telling me how much he loved me like a daddy. Told my wife, I said, I beat that boy half to death, and he loved me like a daddy. Every time I see him, he'll come hug me. He say, preacher, he get saved. No, he's been in jail a couple times, I think. But every time he'll see me, he'll hug me, cry, say, I miss you, Miss Christie. I love y'all. I love your children. I love y'all. Hey, you know what? A child without restraint will bring a shame to its mother. We turn our youngins loose. We've not restrained our children. We're wondering where the glory's gone. Young people's having a hard time getting saved in this day.
Yeah, they are.
I'm wondering it's because their will's never been broken. Some things ain't been done at the house that need to be done at an early age. The Bible said to chasten them bee times. That don't mean often. That means very early. That means you start early and you stay consistent with it.
Amen.
We brought Hannah home from the hospital. Folk thought I was mean. My own mom and mother-in-law got mad at me. We brought her home and put her in that bassinet beside our bed. In the middle of the night, she'd start crying. She wasn't just about a week old. I remember laying in that bassinet. She just laying there. She'd start screaming, crying. We'd check her diaper, make sure she's changed, make sure she's dry, make sure she's fed and burnt and all that stuff. You got to do with them. But when I'd pick her up, she'd just quit. I knew what she wanted. She wanted to get in bed with Mama. So I just reached over there and just lightly tapped her on that diaper. And with a firm voice, I said, no, no. Boy, y'all don't have to quit on me now. She cried harder. And then Mama started crying. She said, honey, what are you going to do? I said, honey, you hold on. I'm going to teach this baby how to sleep all night. She said, preacher, did it work? Oh, yes. I'd get up 5 o'clock in the morning, go to my fireplace, and then go to work. She'd still be asleep every morning, 5 o'clock. Amen. Yeah. Every one of our youngins come home, they sleep all night. You say, why? It's the way we trained them, to sleep all night. Amen.
Yeah, it's a good
one. I don't tell you, but now, they get up 12-year-old and it looks like ain't never had a good whooping.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. My boys come in there and they ain't shaved and they ain't
I say, go shave. You ain't going to church looking like that. They're 18 year old, but I don't care.
Amen.
Amen. Their address changes. They can dress like you want to.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Same preacher. They need to have their own privacy. Yeah. And when their address is their own, they can do what they want to do. God help us. And even then, they ought to have some respect for mom and daddy's opinions.
That's right.
Can I tell y'all something? I love you men of God. There's a man down there at 621 Pleasant Hill Loop Road, Ruston, North Carolina, that I respect more than any man on the face of this earth. That's my daddy. I thank God for that man, how he raised me. I won't tell you he done everything right. And I'd be a sorry individual if I tried to tell you I've done everything right. But I try to restrain my children. I won't make sure that I teach them right. Show them right. But the glory's going and the lights are going out. And our children have not been restrained. And we've not heard the Word of God. And we've let sin in the church. And we've allowed everything to go on. God help us. Oh, Eli allowed some things to happen. He would not restrain his children. You know, I don't say we not abstain from the world. New Testament teaches us that the love of the world is enmity with God.
Yeah.
He that loves the world, he's saying, you're not mine. I'm going to tell you, we brought so much of the world into the church anymore. I'm hearing reports of preachers coming to pulpits with iPads instead of Bibles. I don't know. But I'm going to say Bible ain't the only thing they do on that iPod.
Right.
iPad.
Right.
So leave that world out yonder.
Amen.
Amen. Well, preacher, I just keep my notes on it. Well, maybe you ought to try to go back to pencil and piece of paper. Look like something that God can use.
Amen.
Amen. Preacher, you don't like that? No, I don't like it a bit. I don't think you've been on YouTube. All them other tubes and Facebooks and all them other things.
Yeah,
on that thing, you ought not be bringing to the pulpit.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, there's a whole lot of you need to get off that mess anyhow.
Yeah.
And I say this, if we spend as much time in our Bible as we do on our computer and our cell phone, it'd be a whole lot different at the house of God. We need to get our face off the text and get it in the text. Amen. We need to get our minds and our eyes off of YouTube and look at who you are. Well, I found this preacher on YouTube. Why didn't you listen to one you had Sunday morning? Got all these heroes we found on the internet.
Yeah.
That's right. Got all these heroes on the internet and all these we found on television. I'm going to tell y'all something. I'll never forget this little old boy. I got to hurt and quit. I'll never forget this little old boy. My granny, we'd have revival meeting and my granny would cook. And my mom would cook and we'd come together over my granny's house. And Dr. Percy Ray would preach a revival meeting at the church where I grew up at. Boy, I loved that man of God. And I was a little bitty boy. I was just a little thing. But I won't never forget, and he got done preaching. I won't get up there and sit in his lap. I'd run up there to him, nudge him. And I loved them men of God. Always have a desire to walk like them. Be like, I won't tell you, thank God I've got some heroes. I got some heroes, Brother Wade Henderson. I've got some heroes, Brother Terry Pace. Brother Adam, remember, I got some heroes, Brother Ken. I got some heroes, Brother James. Brother Ron, I got some heroes. They ain't no Michael Jordans or Michael Jacksons or none of them other things. Thank God they're some of God's men. men. That's my heroes today. Thank God I love them. I look up to them. I'm glad they're out there ahead of me. I'm glad I don't think I'm out there ahead of them. I'm thankful for some brother Billy Mitchells and some men of God around here. Amen. I'm glad they're out there. It makes me feel comfortable to know they're out there ahead of me. Brother Jerry, when I look out there ahead of me and I see them men of God, and I'm a following them, I mean that. Paul said, follow us as we follow Christ. Boy, them men of God, I'm a looking at them. I am. I'm a watching them. I ain't lying to you. I'm a looking at them. I'm thankful for them out there. I'm glad they're out there. It makes me feel comfortable.
Amen.
But one by one, they're passing off the seat. Somebody's going to have to step up. Some of us going to have to move up and pick up a banner. Somebody's going to have to carry the torch, bear the burden, and carry the load. Somebody's going to have to step out yonder. I wonder if it'd be some right here, young men of God like me, that won't get a yearning in a heart's desire. Thank God to pick up and go on.
Yes.
Amen. Great God. Oh, we've not let the world out yonder. We brought it in.
You're right.
He said, come ye out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. He said he hated the garment that was even spotted. Oh, we've gotten stained by the world, and the spot of the world's on us. How you get spotted by the world? You hang out around. When you hang out with it, you get some on you. We're looking like it. Acting like it. Living like it. And it's caused the glory to depart anymore from the house of God. And I'm going to say we've not endeavored to keep the unity. I'm going to say some of you brethren, I don't believe everything you believe. You don't believe everything I believe. You ain't everything like I am. But I hope we're going the same direction. I know there's some fundamental points that we need to all believe, and by faith, our faith needs to be right. I believe that about salvation. It's hard to have fellowship when you believe different about salvation. Thank God for what's preached to our hearts last night. I'm going to say I couldn't say it all like that, but that's how I believe it. That's right. That's right. That is right. Amen. I think that's a fundamental belief that we have. I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of little old things we just kind of hip off on. That's right. That's right. Man wears a tie we don't like. We act like he's something we shouldn't be around. That's foolishness and childishness. Grow up. Man wears a button-down collar. If he don't wear a button-down collar, get over that garbage.
Right.
Our hyper-independent movement has made a fool of itself.
Yeah.
Wire rim glasses or not, it don't matter. Who cares? I don't care if you got stripes on your ties or polka dots, or if you got stripes on your shirt. I couldn't care less. Are you going with me or not? We've got endeavored to keep the unity. And at the house of God, we've allowed little old schisms and little old grooves to get in the midst of the house of God. It's hard to find a church anymore without little old groups in it. You ain't in the clique. Well, I'm saved. I've been baptized. I've joined the church. I don't know what other clique I'm supposed to get in. I didn't know I had to join some club and pay dues to somebody. Amen. Amen. And there's certain ones we won't talk to. Won't cross the aisle and speak to sister so-and-so. Won't cross the aisle and shake hands with brother so-and-so. We're not going to meet with them now. They're different than us. I'm a southern boy and I have a little trouble with Yankees. I've had to pastor some and I've had to get over that. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just a country boy. And I don't understand their ways and their thinkings, and I don't understand how they talk. But I had to get over some of that. You know, if we're not careful, we pick out little bitty things.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It ain't our business.
Yeah.
Can I tell y'all something that might hurt some of his feelings? When we get to heaven, there's going to be some of them that come from slant-eyed places.
Yeah.
They might even be some in there with dark skin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Amen. They might be some that speak English as their first language.
Amen.
Amen. But we've not had unity. Why is it we act like we're so saved, but we can't have unity with one another, love one another? By this may they know that ye are my disciples. By what? That you love one another. I ain't one of them lovey-dovey preachers, but I want to tell you something we've missed in the Baptist church. In the independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, sin-killing, devil-hate, all this preaching that we do, we have missed something. We found the love one another.
Yes, sir.
How long's it been since you just wept over that sinner?
Yeah.
Brother Ken, I didn't notice that feller before. Sunday morning, I noticed him. When he come in, felt like I need to turn around. I turned around and looked, and I saw that little family come in. He don't look like a little skinny feller, overalls, and long beards, you know. He looks different than any of my family, any of my friends. But there's something about him got my heart. Went back through there, and I saw that little bitty baby, him laying it down in that little carrier. My heart went out to it. That baby in that little place across its face and its skull looks like it's been just crushed in right there. Sad. Brother Ken was telling me Sunday afternoon about what all I was asking about. He's telling me about that little baby and what all it's going to have to go through. He ain't like me. He wasn't raised in a home like I was raised. He didn't grow up in a church like I grew up. He ain't heard all his life of preaching I've heard. But something about my heart went out to him. And I found myself, my chin quivered a little when I looked at that little baby. Love swelled up in my heart. And I've been able to pray for that family. And I didn't know what his name was till this morning. Thank God we ought to love them. Thank God they're looking for somebody that loves them. They've been cast here and cast there, and they're looking for somebody that really cares. And the church is fighting one another all the time on everything, and they're wondering, is there really anybody out there that cares? And we can't even love one another. Hard to love them when we can't even love one another. Somebody, you need to cross the aisle and say, I forgive you. I'm sorry. I've had bad thoughts about you. One Sunday morning, I'll never forget it. I hadn't been preaching too awful long. I got a preacher called me to come preach for him. I said, I'm going to try my best to be there. I went down there and tried to pray. I couldn't pray. They just old boy had been telling some lies on me. I couldn't pray. Boy, I got some bad feelings toward him. I got bitter in my heart. He'd been stirring some lies up on me. It's years ago. I went down there and his face kept popping up. I couldn't pray. Couldn't pray. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do with it. He said, you ain't go call him, make things right. I went in there and picked up the phone, dialed his number, and I didn't say, buddy, you know what you said about me, bless God, I'm... No, I was broken by now because I couldn't pray. I said, brother, I want to ask you to forgive me. He said, why is that? I said, I had some bitterness in my heart towards you. I want you to forgive me. I don't even know if this fellow's saved or not. I want to ask him to forgive me. He said, oh, yeah, I love you, Brother Dale. That stopped the lies and the rumors. And that morning I went back down there and climbed up under the limbs of that cedar tree. And God let me pray that morning. I got that thing off of me. There's some things we need to get off of us.
Yeah.
We're trying to carry too much in worship. There's some unforgiveness we need to deal with. There's some bitterness we need to deal with. There's some hard feelings toward one another we need to deal with. And endeavor, it don't mean it's easy, that means it's work. Endeavor to keep the unity. It's hard to even keep it in amongst the four walls of the house of God, much less among churches. That's right. I'm wondering where the glory is gone, where the power of God is. Well, by the lights are growing dim. We've left so much wickedness in the church. Hophni and Phinehas were sons of Belial. We've allowed our children to go crazy. We've turned over things that was righteous and holy. We've accepted that that's worldly. We've not endeavored to keep the unity and love one another. We've allowed some things to go that we once held dear. God help us this morning.